All right, here we go. Welcome to Wake in the Future. I am Pat.
What's up, guys? I am Joel.
Good morning, everybody. All right, so it's Wednesday morning. I almost said Thursday because we got Tony with us, but it's Wednesday morning, November the 9th, 2022. And as you guys can see, we have our buddy Tony over in London. Say good morning, Tony.
Good morning, people.
All right. Joel, real quick, fix that sound up for me, bro.
Yeah.
It's giving me clicks and pops again.
Clicks and pops.
Yeah, clicks, man. So,
that's weird.
Yeah. So guys, you know, we've been having Tony on Thursdays, and when Joel went away, we missed him a little bit. Today's Wednesday because Tony's got something going on tomorrow. So here he sits with us this morning. So Tony, we're happy to have you back, man. Things been going good over there in London town. Oh, look at that. Amazing. The NSA already jumped in on us.
Wow.
We might have just lost Tony.
Okay.
Oh, well, here there we is. Go. You're there. Now I got
no
friends
there.
There you are.
Yeah. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, that's just the NSA jumping on with us to make sure that we're towing the line for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
They'll have an hard job keeping up with us.
As if we're that important, you know?
Yeah.
So what's been happening over there?
Yeah, we've had news of the elections, can you call it?
Yeah.
I've been blocking it out. I've just been oblivious to it, or as usual.
Right.
I don't pay any attention to it. But I think Westminster, the politicians in Westminster are talking about something. Honestly, I don't have any idea what they're doing.
No.
You're
far theater. Better off not knowing.
Yeah, it's all theater to me.
Yeah, 100%.
It's the manipulation. It's I was talking about earlier about a reporter was arrested at a climate change event, and she was released with no charge.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is convenient. You know, you're bringing up a climate change arrest of a reporter, and I was talking about, oh, this is against press freedom of press. And I thought, that's ironic, you know, calling yourself journalist now.
Yeah.
So I thought, no, it's a staged event. You know, these people are all putting their agenda across in the guise of helping the public.
Yeah.
And it's all theater. So,
yeah. Well, it's interesting. Now, was that a mainstream media face that was arrested?
I never heard of the name,
okay.
Woman,
yep.
A journalist, but it was on LBC,
okay.
Which is the main
So, I mean, show. You know, it's interesting because some of the things that you wanted to kind of talk about this morning was influence and the monopoly of attention. And when it comes to something like that, right, so whether it's a pro-climate change thing or against the climate change agenda, the win is for climate change and the agenda, because they're going to be able to mention it a million times over.
That's
while
it.
They say, oh, see, she was, you know, detained or whatever they say, you know,
yeah.
At one of these rallies. And you know, that's one of the ways. So let's dive right into the kind of the little, you know, breakdown that you sent over to us, because this is going to be some good stuff.
Sure. Yeah. I titled it Influence, How We're Controlled and How Not to Be. And I sort of just stream of consciousness and a few main headings. But the first one was the goal of their influence, the main globalist agenda, which is basically total control of the population and global dictatorship. That's all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and how we're controlled. I summed it down, my version of it would be just a monopoly of attention. So everyone's attention is contained, captured by their outlets. So it would be radio, TV, magazine, books,
mm-hmm.
entertainment, cinema. You go to the restaurant, there's always a radio or TV on.
Always.
You know,
school.
School, yeah. So the programming is, you know, overall, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So captured attention. Then you've And I was we were talking about frequency a few episodes ago, about how we are controlled by being, our energy is being set in a certain frequency, like frenetic and always busy. You can't, if someone sits quietly on their own, they get funny looks because they're peaceful. Like,
yeah, Joel knows all about that.
Sure. And you're not with the group. You're not with the gang. You're not busy.
Mm.
And they love to keep us busy and distracted. And that energy is I call it a frequency of conformity. So once you're in that frequency of busy, they love it because they've got your attention and you're playing ball. Mm. You're distracted. And
And that's like you said, that is a good example of me. Like I left I wouldn't say a party, but there was 12 or 15 people there. So the elections were on everybody's mind and I'm not engaging myself. So we left the party and my wife is like, you know, half of the people there think you're a Democrat and half of the people there think you're a Republican, because I would not engage in the conversation. I just kind of like nod my head and be like, yeah, you're right. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm neither. And I'm not. I didn't have the energy that day to engage in any conversation. So it's like, yep, you're right. Just keep on walking right towards the chopping block.
And why should you commit to any side? Let them think what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the big ones. You know, when it comes to politics and that whole thing is, if you don't tell people you're either a Democrat or a Republican, then they're just like, oh, well then, yeah, I love it, man. They're like, oh, then you're one of those stupid libertarians. And it's like, no, I'm not one of those either. And they're like, oh, what are you, some stupid anarchist? And people just don't understand.
Corporate, I'm against all of it. I don't like any of it.
Yeah, people don't know how to handle somebody that doesn't support any ideas of government, you know, and because of the pure evil behind it, the deception, the manipulation, and all the rest that goes with it. In the monopoly of attention that you were talking about here, so the ones you listed were school, work, mainstream media, and popular culture, right? Yeah. The one I wanted to touch on firstly would be popular culture, right? So obviously, you know, when it comes to the monopoly on attention and the manipulation, right? I think we'd have to, you know, first talk right about something like a Netflix, right? One of the big things that was popularized in 2020 and has, you know, continued to be popular for so many people is this idea of Netflix and chill. Right. I'm just going to watch Netflix and chill. And basically, you know, when you go into Netflix these days, you know, what you're seeing less of is, you know, you're seeing less of the movies in the sense there's still plenty of movies that come out. Right. But a lot of series. Right. You're seeing more and more series come out because basically they know if they can get you into a single series, you're going to watch the entire series. You're going to spend that time. And I don't know if there's any truth behind it or not. I don't spend much time dealing with Netflix and that whole thing. But one of the things I'm starting to hear now is they're going to start putting ads on Netflix. And if you want to avoid the ads, well, then you can pay more money. I don't know how true that is. Personally, I think it makes a lot of sense because, you know, this is the direction that they go. Like YouTube's been doing it for a long time. And it's very easy if you want to get rid of ads on YouTube. Well, then you just, you know, you pay us some money every month and we'll make those ads go away. With Netflix, though, it's already a subscription service. So I'm not sure, like, if they're going to keep your core subscription at a smaller amount. And then, hey, if you don't want these ads, just pay us a little bit.
Well, somebody was saying that they already did it with Amazon. So on Amazon, there's, say, your core that you can get, you know, stuff. Amazon sponsored stuff.
Yeah.
Right. But then there's also stuff that you can watch. It's maybe not, and I don't know. I'm pretty lost on everything. But the one thing I wanted to do, let's tie in movies, elections, control, behavior. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So if we watch any movie 99.9999% of the time, what happens? You know, we have your typical situation where something bad happens and then somebody comes in and saves the day.
And they work for the government.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah.
But do we see like that's what we watch and that's what we engage in?
Yep.
Okay. So now all of a sudden, what are we doing when we shut off Netflix? Well, then, because we're such geniuses, we turn on Fox or CNN and we're looking for somebody to save the damn day. Yeah. We're always looking for that outside stuff.
Yeah.
Or you've got that, you've got the, what is it? The reality TV mentality, right? When I'm just focused on somebody else's lives, like instead of enriching my life and making my life better, I'd rather watch the fucking Kardashians do it. Like,
yes.
It's all, and it's like, oh, everybody's worried about Metaverse. Metaverse has been here for 50 years.
Yeah.
Nobody's living in their own reality.
You're right. We're living in a vicarious reality. We're living through other people. We're not living our own lives. We're living through other people's lives. And they're not even real lives. They're fake lives. So,
yeah.
No, 100%. And then you also add in on the whole pop culture, this twist of reality, you know, where, you know, for example, just use commercials for an example where, you know, everything is... what's the words I'm looking for? Multiracial, everybody, they're all interracial, you know, kids and parents. And, you know, then you're dealing with when there are single race, you know, it's always, you know, there are no more Caucasians really in these commercials anymore. I saw a funny ass comment the other day about, yeah, man, the other day I saw a commercial. It was, you know, a straight white couple in this commercial, and it's like, yeah, that had to have been a rerun from like 40 years ago, you know.
And that's what they need to do. But was it you that sent over, Pat, the one that said, up until we needed a racial divide, white people didn't call people white? We didn't say, oh, you're a white person, you know. They didn't do that until, you know, until they needed
some. And that's the thing, and me just me mentioning that, you know, there are people out there that will automatically link to, oh, Pat's a racist. And it's like, no, I'm not a racist. I don't give a fuck what color your skin is. Yeah. It doesn't matter to me. Like, I don't care. You're a good or bad person. but what it does is, as we all know, is it programs everybody. People start to, you know, tend to see that this is just the norm. And here's the thing. Like, if you're a good actor, cool. You be you, bro. You know, like, that doesn't matter, you know. But then when you start to dig deeper into, you know, Hollywood and all the rest, it all starts to really make sense because they're all evil people. You know, so, I mean, you know, the monopoly on attention is 100% something, you know, if nobody out there has looked into it, you got to look into more and more of it because the repetition is huge and you know, that plays a big role in it. And when they start to commercialize something like a Netflix, man, God, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, Tony. We totally.
No. It's
spread
good.
It on you there.
I'm flying with the flow of me. So, yeah, no, it's. We seem to be captured. Our attention is captured or held hostage by their cage, their matrix. Mm-hmm. So our mind is their viewer. I don't know. But yeah, I've actually, it's been difficult to live separate from it all because I knew a guy at college years ago. I was in college, well, training course rather.
I'm sorry.
Kalamazoo. It was a computer training course. And there was this guy, he said to me, an older guy, he was all talking about a program and he said, oh, I don't have a television. We all looked at him like, hang on, what do you mean? You ain't got a TV.
Yeah.
And he was in his 50s, I was in my early 20s. And he was a really nice guy, mild mannered, gentle. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't even know he was there, Mr. Bland, grey man.
Yep.
He spoke seven languages. He was a programmer from the 50s. I won't say his name. His company took him to, it was a big opera house in Milan. He's traveled the world. And you wouldn't know it. You see him, you think, oh, just an average guy.
Yep.
But he was so bright and he finished all the work before everyone else. A week early, he would be walking around helping us.
Right. Right.
And he said to me, no, I don't watch TV. And I took it from him. And one day I said, yeah, I'm not watching TV.
Yeah.
And I got rid of it for 3 years. And I was with a girl and she kept nagging on about, oh, take this program on soon.
Why don't you have a television?
That's it. And I buckled to the pressure.
Yeah.
and I got a TV again.
Yeah.
And I think I had it for another maybe 7 years, and I got rid of it. And then I've happened to have another one, which mm-hmm. I use as a monitor, really.
Yeah.
But it is difficult to be outside of that environment where everyone's talking about it and you're out of the loop. But yeah. It's the only way for me, personally. It's who I am. I'm not popular. I don't care if people don't like me. I don't care if I don't know the latest Kardashians or whoever's on the pop charts. I've got better things to do.
It's not even that people are intimidated by people that can actually formulate a thought.
Yeah.
And that's why, and that is why we're so, that's why they can't have us. They cannot have somebody that, you know, when you're inside a group of people, my wife made the mistake at work, right? They were talking about, they were talking about the LGBTQ and the whole racial oppression, right? And my wife made the mistake of telling the bigwigs, like, what if we stopped telling them that they're oppressed and we started building them up? What if we did that? What if we started actually treating them as equals? And it was like,
wait a minute. Boom. You can't remove stigmas and things.
I was in the other room listening to this, and she was in a Zoom meeting, and I'm like, oh, geez, here we go. I'm like, the computer's about to explode.
Yeah.
Like, she just offered a solution. She just offered an actual human connection with people.
Yeah.
And no, that doesn't fit the agenda. No.
That's it. That's what I say.
Well, and that's interesting. So some of the target areas that you mentioned in this document, Tony, are target areas of influence, one being personal and the other being environmental. And that would fall into an environmental thing, Joel, where, you know, as a society as a whole, you know, the idea that this side community of gay people has to be, you know, they have to be their own separate thing, yet we have to incorporate them into every part of society. And it's like, how about this? Just be you. And if you're a good person, then cool. But don't start to try to push your ways upon me. Don't try to, you know, force me. And this idea used to be something that I think most of society held, you know, as a core belief is, you know what, I'm me. Tony, I'm not going to try to make you be like me because you're Tony and you are your own individual. And that's no longer something that is acceptable, right? This idea of a collective, everybody needs to be able to fall into the same basket. And basically my take on it is obviously people have been pushed in the direction of the, you know, where they want us to be. So when you take somebody, Joel, like you mentioned, who has critical and original thoughts going on. And your wife, for example, on this one, like, why would we not start just building them up and starting to make them their own people where they're individuals? No, that does not work. So basically we're going to just, you know, push that off to the side. We're going to continue with the way that has been laid out for us. And they don't know how to take us. Now, as far as not having a TV goes, man, yeah, I have one. I have one in my house because, you know, my girlfriend is a fan of television. And I tell her all the time, you know, if you weren't here, it wouldn't be here. Like, you know, it just wouldn't because I don't need it. But one of the things that's interesting to look at is people that don't watch a lot of television, right? One of the things that they've gotten us on is the very thing that we're talking on right now. These PCs, these laptops, these phones,
tablets, everything.
Tablets, whatever it may
be. Convenience.
Yeah, and that's something that has to be talked about when we're talking about this influence, Tony.
Yeah. I mean, people don't realize how they go from one form of media to another, and they don't realize it's the same source. So the environment we live in, it's basically a captive audience.
Mm-hmm.
So if you walk back down the street, you see a billboard for a, you know, a mobile phone or a car. You walk in, into a shop, you hear the music on the radio, you're being programmed by the radio, and the posters in the shop, a label. The words, the actual grammar on the posters and the style of the fonts. I'll go into that a bit on this document a bit later in regarding to shopping and brand names. We're not there yet, so I won't bring it up. But yeah, the words all around us in the sort of fonts, they cast spells on us. You see, say, for example, Tiffany. It's like in a certain font and it's plain and it's, you know what it is, diamonds, it's wealth, it's luxury. So you're automatically in a frequency of, oh, that's the high life. So you can, anywhere you go, you're being programmed by the sounds, the noise, the visuals, the posters, even the people you meet. I've lost my sound.
No, you're good.
Oh, it's still there, good. You're getting reverberations from the system through the people that you meet that are programmed. So it's being reinforced by other people that, yeah, this is the way the world should be. We agree. Why don't you? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we are a captive audience. And when you're not in that loop,
it's a difficult path. With what you're talking about there, right, the different advertisings and things of that nature, and that kind of literally brings us right down into the persuasion behaviorism field. And you start getting into the psychologists, you know, from Pavlov to Skinner and, you know, all of them that you have listed here is huge, right? And you have quite a few listed and some not listed that obviously would come up as well. And I know Joel will name at least one. And this is something that so few people have any idea of, how much study and how much time has gone into advertising and, you know, all the rest to make sure that they know exactly how to lead, manipulate, and deceive.
Yes. Oh, it's a science, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, 100%.
When you're looking at, from Russia, you know, Pavlov.
Yes.
The first one I brought up. He's apparently a Russian experimental neurologist and psychologist and physiologist. So the nerves, the brain, and the physiology.
Yep.
And he was famous for treating dogs and getting dogs to salivate over non-existent food.
Right.
By just programming them with food and then taking the food away, but ringing a bell associated with food.
Pavlov's dogs.
That's it.
Yep.
So they've been doing this for years and studying humans and animals on how our motivations are set and how they can use our motivations against us. So we might feel that, you know, being lonely, we're told is a bad thing. So they'll use that against us and say, you know, there's a party, you know, join the party, go to the cinema. You have to be alone. You don't have to be alone and reading books and learning stuff. Join the group. And so our motivations and our needs, hunger, they'll work on our hunger and give us junk food to make us fat and sluggish. So these motivations that we are naturally in us are manipulated and played on by the system without us knowing most times. So B.F. Skinner, he was another one, best known for his theory on behaviorism. And he did a novel called Walden 2.
Mm-hmm.
He was from Harvard. A lot of them from Harvard and Columbia.
Yeah.
Harvard, Columbia, Princeton, they're all, you know, Columbia's a big one. When we start getting into like the education and the social control, the behaviorism, Columbia's always going to come up. It's gonna be a big one.
Yeah.
And I think originally I was looking into a while back the Frankfurt School in Germany.
Yep.
That's another
big one, yeah.
That was, I believe, a big one in Germany from the Nazis and the Marxists. And there was a Adorno, Theodore Adorno, I believe his name. Lewin, Kurt Lewin, he was quite an evil character, that guy. Kurt Lewin, he, and a lot of those people are behind the Marxist plan to take over countries in the world. So it all goes back to the Frankfurt School, and critical theory is a term they use and play on, which is criticizing every aspect of life and dividing us up by critical theory.
You can continue tracing it literally all the way back to the Egyptians with the pyramid, the control at the top, and it spreads elsewhere and everywhere else is. And then you get into where our model is really based off of the Prussian model of the 18th and 19th century. You know, that's where it's.
Okay. Yep. So, yeah, these guys have been working on what motivates us, how to manipulate us to towards their goal. And media... Well,
and manipulation is definitely one of the, you know, that's the word, right? Between manipulation and deception, that is exactly how they operate, because if they can't manipulate us with all these methods that they use... Well, then they can't use, you know, so they've refined the ways that they do things, and they call it advertising, right? I mean, you know, oh, well, you know, we just, but really what it is it's a, just manipulation. How are we going to be able to manipulate the human mind to purchase our products or to think about our products? Or if they see this, we'll make them think about our products, right? And all these things. And they've really started to do that with absolutely everything, right? So every bit of our society has been manipulated in some way, shape, or form. And the biggest pro that they have using with technology, things like Twitter and Facebook and other things, and we're literally living in it in this exact moment right now with this whole selection 2022 that's going on, these midterms. It's the most, did you guys know that this is literally the most important election ever right now?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, 2 years ago, 2 years ago, it wasn't the most important ever.
However many elections I've been alive for, that's how many elections have been
the most important election of. And but the idea that this is how they are able to operate. And if you go on to something like a Twitter right now, the manipulation and the deception all around from both sides, it doesn't matter. Yeah. The uniparty works together, obviously. But the cronies that do the bidding, the people, you know, whether they got this blue check mark or they don't, or whatever it may be. And on, just so you know, Tony, on Twitter, right, to verify yourself, you get this blue check mark, and now all of a sudden you're like, you know, whatever. But this is all that we're seeing right now in feeds. And it doesn't even matter if you're somebody on Twitter that doesn't really even pay attention to anything, politics or any of those things. Like, you can follow everything other than, but it's pretty much the prominent thing that's showing up in everybody's feeds. And they're doing this because they need to get everybody seeing it and getting their perspective across on it. And ultimately, you know, I try to explain to people all the time that, you know, the only thing that's going to come out of the most important election ever in the history of ever is going to be the government's going to win once again. And some people see it, but the manipulation and that deception, it's so strong that it doesn't matter whether they understand it. They're still going to go and support it. They're still going to go out, take time from their life, and go and vote for that person that they think is going to control them better.
Yeah.
Well, look at the voting thing, and this goes right into the behaviorism and Skinner and the rewards punishment side of things, right? We constantly reward people, and like, you voted, good job, good job.
You get a little sticker now?
And like, even in school, like, good job. And you can see it in the generations before us. It's like, I'll be at work and like, you know, I'll be talking to one of the newer kids. Will be like, yeah, but they never thank me. They never tell me. Good. I'm like, you're doing your job, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
you are hired to do something. And it used to, my daughter, I clean my room. What do I get? Nothing.
Nothing. You get a clean room.
You got a clean. You did what you were supposed. There's no praise. There's no like decent like. Oh, I held the door open for somebody. And sometimes, even with my wife, I made dinner. Good.
Thanks.
We eat. We need to eat. Like I'll do the dishes. Like where's my praise? Like what? Yeah. And that's a lot of how they did it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. We
participation awards.
Yes. So I think we're looking at the world as it is now. It's like the Truman Show.
Mm-hmm.
So and I look at it as the site issues like the MK Ultra and the Stanford Prison Experiment.
Yeah.
And Waco even. And these little experiments they do, because I think that's what I believe they are. They're little test cases to see how this would run with the people. And they did it in China, the social credit system.
Mm-hmm.
And they have happy how it's going, so they're now bringing it into the main rest of the world.
Yep.
So all these little experiments that have been done are test runs for what they're now bringing out for us. Mm. So, it's very well planned. And this media is also... It's so great how they've done it. You know, I shouldn't be praising them, but
wow.
The evil genius behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't underestimate their planning and their...
Well, they called it the social credit score in China, but it's a credit score. But again, okay, here in the US and I'm sure probably Europe, it's the credit score. And it might not be as involved. I don't know. I've never met anybody from China to actually talk to them about their China credit score, right? Their social credit system. What I do know from people, our friend Kevin and other people that have lived in China, okay, the media China and the people that have lived in China are two totally different stories.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, so there's that. But our credit score here, it might not be like, It's still a social class system.
Yeah.
Like I got a 700 credit score. It's like, oh, you must be doing really well. It's like, no, I just don't buy shit I don't need. Like,
wait, if that's the case, then no, you don't have a 700 credit score. Because that's ultimately
I buy less stuff that I don't need. Yeah, you know,
but you know, on the China thing, Tony, you know, I mean, it's definitely so. This is an example of good publicity, bad publicity. It doesn't matter which, right? Because when you take something like 2020 and the China virus and Wuhan and all of the bad publicity that you would call coming out of China throughout this whole scam that we've lived in, China's number one in so many people's minds. They're thinking about it. And then they start to talk, well, look at, oh my God. And it's interesting how, you know, prior to 2020, there wasn't as much talk about the social credit system over in China. And yeah, it is very real. But now we're getting more and more talk about it, more and more talk about it. And that's what it is. It's the psychological of we're getting it out there.
Yeah. I see a way out. It's really simple. It sounds crazy to say it, but non-participation in the system and awareness of what they're doing, which is... Mm-hmm. What we're doing, we're highlighting and bringing awareness to the tricks of the trade,
mm-hmm.
and saying, this is what they're doing. Look, it's programming, wall-to-wall programming. Switch off your TV, switch off the radio, don't read the newspapers. Unplug. And then if everyone got that message and realised they're walking into a prison, tyranny, mm-hmm. they'd wake up and go, bang.
Yeah.
And it's just communication between people, things like this, what we're doing, and making aware of people that, no, they're manipulating you. But you see what they do with the TV. Your emotions are getting taken for a ride in these movies. You're emotionally engaging with one character or another.
Mm-hmm.
You're being programmed. Your behavior is being programmed like a dog. Repetition, repetition. Yeah. See how it works. And then they maybe see it, maybe not. But it's awareness of what it's done to us.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, you have general methods of influence, right? You got couple of different examples. Reciprocation, sweet, giving a sweetened dealership to make you feel obligated in buying an expensive car. Commitment and consistency, social proofs, linking. Well, I'm sorry, liking, not linking, liking. Someone you like or seemingly is nice to you may make you more likely to agree with them or to do what they ask. Pressure to agree should be resisted, even at the threat of disapproval from the person that likes you. And that's something major that politics has been able to really utilize to their advantage. Is you got to get somebody who's at least likable out there to obviously their constituency, right? If they have a very low likable appeal going on, obviously people aren't going to want to go out and vote for and vote harder and all the rest of these things. And
who won here? Maura Healey? Did she win?
Who knows, man?
That's it.
You know, one thing's sure. Nothing's going to change. Things will consistently continue to go downhill regardless. Well, you know, because
they do each have a side of the dial. They do have a side that they're pushing. So to say that who wins doesn't and who has the house and say that doesn't make a difference, that's where I feel a lot of our community, like they're like, oh, nothing's going to change. Well, I've seen some things change in the last 2 years since we've had it does affect things. It's like saying, don't read CNN because it's the enemy. No, know your enemy.
Yeah.
It's information. Yeah. Like, you better know your enemy better than your neighbor, because you don't have to worry about your neighbor stabbing you in the back.
Yeah.
Or your friend.
But,
you know.
But this liking one, Tony, I really liked, because, you know, though somebody may like you or you may like somebody, to just agree with them simply because of that relationship, right? So, you know, and this can happen even in back and forth chats like we're having right now. And Joel and I will disagree often. We don't argue about it, but just because we like each other, we're friends, doesn't mean that we have to agree on everything. And a lot of people, especially now, because, you know, they've introduced everybody to this idea of a cancel culture, right? You know, we'll just cancel you. You won't exist anymore if you don't agree. That is one of the other mechanisms that they're able to use, a tool in their toolbox that they can use is, well, if you don't go along to get along, we're going to get rid of you. And, you know, that manipulation, again, more deception and manipulation being used. Fear, of course. Yeah.
I mean, as I've grown older, I've seen truth as being the only thing that keeps me sane.
Mm-hmm.
So, my ex, we was together for a long time, like over a decade. I still see each other as friends, but we would argue like cat and dog about silly things. Then we'd knock the rough edges off and come to a point where we'd say, okay, we'd agree to differ. Let's not talk about it.
Yep.
Then we moved on a bit further to, okay, I hear you. I don't respect what you're saying. I don't agree, but I respect what you're saying.
Right.
So we got a respect. We built respect between us. And it wasn't about whether I was right or she was right. It didn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. It was, I see your point and she sees my point, and we're okay with that.
Yeah.
We don't have to be right. We can just be as we are and accept each other for who we are. That's just respect. And that's what us guys have. We don't have to force our view on each other and say, yeah, I'm right and you're wrong, because we have a certain level of respect just from being who we are. And I think people need to realize they don't have to be right and someone else wrong for them to get ahead in life.
Right.
We can be as we are and accept each other as we are.
And we can see people that, one person definitely comes to mind. Okay. We can see people that are onto the truth, have studied and understand what's going on, but are still in that manipulation of I'm right, you're wrong. Look at that. Like the whole, the working together thing, it doesn't exist. And that's why I like these conversations. I can sit down and put together 45 minutes of history books and what they've said, and I can quote them and I can give the page and the chapter, and I can sound really smart, but I want to know how individuals feel. I want to know what individuals see and work together as a group. That's what I feel like we're missing. To sound like some, you know, to go over what's already been written down and researched upon and just is great. Don't get me wrong. But what we're missing, what we're losing is the individual, the individual within a group. That is what we don't have. We don't have where we're going to work off of everybody's strengths and work together as a group. Mm-hmm. Because the second somebody's weak in one area, everybody has to pounce on that person and tell them how wrong they are. Mm. And right. So we get our rewards and punishment system working great within our own community.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And also, you know, and what you were saying, Tony, is, you know, this idea of force and, you know, there, that time you talked about where, you know, people would be able to agree to disagree and go their separate ways or go about, you know, and everything would be okay because, yeah, all right, we don't agree on this particular thing. But what we've seen now is we've seen, you know, with the divide of society, right? So society being divided, you know, specifically into a two-tier or not two-tier, into two sides kind of.
Yeah.
You know, most countries, you got a left and a right paradigm thing going on. You know, there are some, obviously, that aren't that. But so now what you have is you've got a left and a right. And, you know, obviously, they're now utilizing this central power to force these things upon people. So, oh, you don't agree with me? That you know, I'm a guy and now I think I'm a chick and now you have to you have to call me they whatever. No, then if you don't agree with that, then I'm gonna make sure to force you. And the other side then counters with, well, I'm gonna force you. And basically this single control mechanism in government, right, that's being used by both sides to force people to do things against their will, to control and manipulate and deceive people. This is the, you know, and obviously that being controlled by another singular higher power up the chain, you know, and these are all things. And this is literally what we've watched happen in the past couple of weeks here in the United States. You guys have recently gone through it. We didn't even talk about the whole prime minister thing going on over there. I don't even know what that debacle has turned into over there. Dude, who's the prime minister right now?
Oh, now you got me.
That's good that you don't know if you don't, because it's insanity.
Is it?
I think. Is that the Indian?
Is it fucking Boris Johnson again?
I think.
It could be.
It's Trump.
It's Trump.
He's over here now, isn't he? Yeah, it could be Trump.
But that's the thing, you know, when you take people like the three of us that really don't put a lot of focus at all into these things, people don't know how to handle us because we're not looking to somebody outside of us to say, you don't agree, I'm going to force you to agree. I'm going to make you agree. And, you know, that's one of the major issues that we have in society is this idea that, well, this is what I see. Therefore, I'm going to make you see this. And if you won't, well, then I'm really going to make you see it with threat of, you know, violence against you because we're going to force you. And it's scary in a lot of ways, but, you know,
people
I think keep it's like voting harder.
The two sides, we're left and right.
Mm-hmm.
I see it as like a group of sheep on a field. We're the best of people. And you've got left and right, the two border collies. And then we're going this way, but they want us over here. So then, no, park this side. And we'll move over this way. And then we go that way. So then this one barks and pushes us. So it's a kind of a jostling of the people.
And then all of a sudden, it's two groups of sheep walking around in circles. Just walking around in circles.
Or even better, they're approaching the cliff.
thinking they're getting somewhere. And you know, over time, one dies off and the pecking order changes and then they go around. And really what I see here is we're at a crucial point here where the last generation to see any sense of normalcy has got to step up and show, let people know how things used to be and how things could be. And until we have that, but you can't do that. And that's why I've been focusing so much on the education system. Okay. If that doesn't get changed, we're grooming 99% of the population, if not more,
to their behavior, to their control. And if you can't change that, I'm sorry. But I'm not going to say anymore, but take a look at that.
Well, so that's sadly, we're quickly run out of time, man. It always
did.
Wow. Dude, it's insane, man. Too quick. Yeah, Joel. All right, so Joel, you and I, we're gonna have to stop working because we're gonna need more time in the mornings.
Well, stop with that work stuff.
I'm going to manipulate you, Joel.
Need to sell some T-shirts for that to happen.
Oh,
yeah.
Commercials
aren't working.
Tony's pimping it out today.
Oh, beautiful!
Loving that, man.
That one, it's so simple and it gets so much, you know, interaction out in public. It's great. Yeah, it really sparked some, and this one too, it has sparked some great, great conversation out there. Yeah. But
that's the idea of it.
That's what was always the idea for us. Yeah. But I think we should focus on getting Tony on a weekend episode where we'd probably have a little bit more time to go a little bit deeper into something. So
I could get down with that. We'll have to talk offline, Tony, and get something set up, see what we can manage on that, because that would be nice and we'd have a little bit of extra time. So
that'd be great.
What do you have for us in closing, Tony? Because we're going to obviously finish off going through the remainder of what you sent over to us here, man, because we haven't even really, we've just kind of trickled into it a little bit.
Yeah, this went off on its own.
It always does, like it's supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, if people could just be aware that 360 degrees around them, from audio, radio, TV, visuals, advertising, posters, people they meet, is the same programming. It's one message, you know, divide and rule. They could be aware of, switch off from it. You know, wake up, have some self-respect, please. You know, you've got to live your own life. Stop following other people. Think for yourself. Simple. Free from the herd.
I love it. Yeah. So true. What I'll say is this, Tony, we appreciate you as always, man. You put a lot of time and effort into getting some ideas and thoughts down on paper for when we start into these chats that we've been having. Trying to keep them weekly with you, which I think we'll be able to continue to do. So we do appreciate it. And guys, for all of you out there, you know, watching, you know, waking the future at protonmail.com, because we do want to hear from all of you guys. And here's the thing, Joel and I tend to connect quite well with Tony here, and we agree on a lot of things. But you know, that doesn't mean that if we might not agree with what you are thinking, or if you don't agree with what we are thinking here and talking about, we still want to talk with you. You know, that's how things started with harmful content, and we've had them on now a few times, and we don't agree, but we're able to have a good conversation with him and talk about things that become constructive conversations, because ultimately that is what we're looking to do. Is we're looking to have these constructive conversations where we can actually start to get people to understand how we might find more solutions. You know, that's ultimately what we need. Is we don't need more of the same old, same old. We don't need more of the only focusing on the scary shit so that we can get likes and shares and fucking views. And no, like, don't watch if you don't like us. That's cool. I mean, unsubscribe. That's fine. You know, I mean, if you don't genuinely don't like us and what we do, that's fine. You know, but if you're enjoying it, shoot us that email and let us know, hey, you know what, let's come on the show. We'll have a good discussion, because it's well worth doing. So we love all you guys either way, though.
Yeah, that's it. You know, we don't need more division. No. And I think that's like one of the mistakes, is that because we have somebody on and we allow them to freely express themselves as an individual, that I automatically believe them, right? People think, and Tony, I love what you were saying about the audio and all of this stuff going on around us. And like, you know, everybody has this image of me when I say meditate, of this like kumbaya, no, it's what I, if anything, it's deep thinking. And it's shutting out all of the distractions and becoming in tune with reality surroundings and everything that's going on around me. So, Tony, thank you for coming on. I think you and I and Pat will be back and forth, and we can really dig deep into this this subject, because there's so much government documentation that's so between really Germany, UK, in the US, that's so interesting. It really just points out exactly what they're doing. So thank you again for coming on. I do look forward to our next conversation. Again, if you guys would like to support Awaken the Future, head on over to awaken-attire.com. It would be greatly appreciated. And as always, don't take Tony's word for it. Absolutely do not take Pat's word for it. Under no conditions, take my word for it. Do your own research, come to your own conclusions and your own truth. Remember, guys, freedom starts at home and from within. Laters.